Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Still want to be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great.
Bye-bye.
Who are you talking to? I got 5 Super Bowl wins. Who are you, Josh? The reason you got a job is because of me.
It's quite fascinating. What a failure. A road game in Miami could be the difference between home field advantage and a road game in January.
Do the Dolphins beat the Patriots this weekend?
I don't think so. Chalk that up as a loss.
Suck on it.
All right.
Have the Dolphins been a good football team?
No! Stop it!
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
They're what, they're cocky in Miami, and I don't blame them. I think if I were in Miami and I were on the air right now, I'd say the same thing. What the hell, Patriots? All right. They've been the best franchise in the last 2 decades in the National Football League, but in December, 4-15 overall down here. And Bill Belichick in December, he's 3-7.
You know what I like? Here's what I like here from Miami fans is that they sit there and they reminisce. You know what? We used to be the Patriots. Yeah. There was a time in the 70s and the 80s that we won the division all the time. And you guys, nobody was scared of you. That's what I like hearing when I see the old players of the Dolphins and the old timers. Yeah, the old timers. Like, listen, it's going to turn again eventually. No, like, no. Brady can't play forever,
no,
right?
It's a good point. Maybe he can't play. But I'm not sure it turns. They're the best of the tomato cans, right? Of the tomato cans, the 3 tomato cans. Miami is
the
best.
Said, I think that is, that's, to me, really the reason why they struggle against Miami down in Miami. Because it's usually the second time they play them. I know a couple years back they lost, I think it was at home, the game one or whatever.
The anniversary. Are you talking about the anniversary? I'm sorry, not the anniversary because this game is, but when they came out with the Wildcat?
Yes.
Years ago.
But I think it has more to do with, beating teams in your division twice a year is difficult because they know you very well. However, there's been years in the past where the Jets and the Bills are so freaking bad that they might give you a game. They don't beat you, though.
No.
You know what I mean? Whereas the Miami Dolphins, they're an 8-8 team. So it's they know you well. You know them well, but you get them down there. And I just think that's kind of, it's the one team that you could say has been sort of just average. It's like an 8-8 team in your division for all these years. And because of that, it's difficult to beat a team twice in your division. They know you well.
Yeah, but usually you handle them well at home.
Sure.
It's just on the road. And that's why I do believe the weather has something to do with it. By the way, Belichick brought that up yesterday.
He did.
He brought the weather situation.
He said, it's going to be hot?
No, your body, you feel something different when you get down there. So I think he's trying to get it into their head. Let's not make the excuse that, you feel differently. You're going to feel differently when you're down there in Miami.
Yeah, but it's hard.
So let's get it out of your head now.
But it's almost like the reverse effect. Like, I don't want you guys to go down there and just start thinking about feeling differently. However, I'm going to tell you that you're going to. It's like Denver. Mile high. I don't want to say it's going to be difficult. You're breathing and everything else, but it is difficult.
Elevation.
Yeah.
But the elevation is tough.
Don't think about it.
And it's going to be cold.
But it's going to affect you.
So you know what Lou was laughing about?
What?
He was laughing about a Barstool Sports video that's out there with an NBA insider, very similar to Jay Stu, in Korea.
Yes.
And they were doing an NBA show.
I retweeted it.
And he suddenly gets a bloody nose.
He just starts right gushing on blood TV from live. His nose as he tries to fight through it. And his partner realizes he doesn't know what to do. It's just funny. It was just good comedy.
He looked behind to see if somebody stabbed the guy.
Oh,
that is weird. Out of nowhere, he gets a bloody nose.
Mm-hmm, I did like that.
All right, let's head back to the phone calls. We go to Larry and Newton. What do you got, Larry?
Yes, I have 5 points. Why?
Oh my God!
5 points.
5 points.
Okay.
Beatles 7:30.
Break it down quick.
Intelligent points. They're going to be quick. Why they? I'm happy they signed Eovaldi.
Go.
Okay. First of all, as you made the point that he wasn't that good for part of the season. Tommy John takes a while for a pitcher to get to his full effect. And pitching's a crapshoot anyway. At the end of the season, he pitched like a $30 million pitcher. Mm-hmm. So they're taking a chance on him, $17 million.
There's 2.3.
He has that potential to be a $30 million pitcher. And what are the alternatives, anyway, to him?
That's
so how's that?
Okay. Was that it? Was that five?
Let's see.
That's good. Thank you.
I would say the number one priority to be a there's two things that you have to be a $30 million pitcher. You have to have like nasty stuff and be one of the best pitchers in the game as far as stuff wise, and you got to be there every day.
I was gonna say, can you have that nastiest stuff best stuff for 3 weeks.
No.
No, 3 weeks.
So I don't think he possesses what it takes to be a $30 million pitcher, quite frankly. I think he's missing one of the most important parts of it. And that's being there.
I'll tell you what, he's got great timing. It is. And that's where Christian was talking about.
Good for him. Seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy. And, you know, he just timed it perfectly. Because if we go back, if the Red Sox were not a postseason a team, or he was not part of what they were doing in the postseason, because there wasn't an awful lot there that gave you a feeling like he was going to be a big part of the postseason. You talked about it, I think, off the air, Lou, you said you didn't even think Kelly was going to be on the roster, and you had no idea what the role was going to be for Nathan Eovaldi.
Start, relieve, what's he going to be?
And he's gone from that to now getting him a deal for close to $70 million.
Like,
he wouldn't have gotten this in September.
Bradford said something like, how this isn't an overreaction of the World Series.
He's wrong.
How is it not?
It is.
So if it's not an overreaction of what happened in October, so you're telling me September 29th, when we discussed Nathan Eovaldi, you know, being a free agent, you're telling me somebody sat there and said, hey, 4 years, 68 sounds good?
Nobody did.
No, September 28th?
No.
Who did that? So how is it not an overreaction of what we saw in October? Now, you could sit there and say, well, it should be. The guy went out there, and when it counted most, he was nasty. He won in the postseason. He showed he can win big games. So, that should play into it. But it's an absolute overreaction of what we saw in October, because September 29th, I don't think anybody thought a four-year deal for $16, $17 million was in play. Nobody.
You know, the crazy thing is that, and maybe we'll do this later, that he's still underpaid when it comes to the top YouTube stars.
Ooh.
The top YouTube stars.
Well, that's the case.
The top earners of YouTube.
Yeah.
2018 was released, and it's amazing. First of all, we're all in the wrong business.
Why?
All of us are in the wrong business. We should somehow create some sort of YouTube channel.
I'm not sure I buy these numbers.
What do you mean you can't buy these numbers?
I'm not sure I buy these.
Look at this,
numbers.
Sir. There's this kid.
7 years old.
He's 7 years. You know what? And my kids have been watching this guy's videos, and I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
All he does is test toys.
Right.
And his
he opens toys.
His 2018 earnings, $22 million, and he's 7 freaking years old.
Dad's making some gays.
I was going to say, the old man.
Well, he can go, what school do you want to go to? Anywhere I want.
So why would you, if you're one of these parents that pushes the kids into sports?
Pushes them.
Forget about pushing the kid into sports.
No, figure it out.
Watch TV, kid. Let's go to YouTube. Let's get your computer out there. Get him a laptop.
Much better to be creative.
You have a much better chance, don't you, of being a star on YouTube than you do having the athletic ability to go out there and play at a high level in Major League Sports. Much better chance with YouTube.
He has 17 million followers, this kid.
You guys want to listen to some of his show?
17 million followers.
This is the 7-year-old kid.
A lot of toys.
All he does is just open the toys.
Yeah, it's not very good sound.
That's it. For 22 million, I don't buy this.
Silence.
I think somebody's just making this up. I think somebody's just throwing it out there.
So he opens up toys.
So here's
that's a big thing on YouTube. People open up stuff. So if
open the box or something like that.
Yeah, I bought one of those vacuum cleaners. You know the ones that just kind of go on their own? You know, the little vacuum things
that go on their own? Yeah,
So I bought one of them, and I went on YouTube, and it showed me how to unpack it.
How do you not know how to unpack it?
But then they tell you how to operate it and use it.
But all this kid does, the toy companies... Because there's no Toys R Us anymore, right? So there's no commercials. Okay. So they send this kid these toys for free, and he just plays with them. He doesn't say it's bad or good. He just plays with them.
He just opens the box. That's what this kid is.
That's all he does.
Play with the toys?
No, he does. That's all he does is play with the toys.
Oh, and he opens the box and
Oh, look.
Who assembles them?
I mean, maybe his dad. I don't know. If assembly is required.
Like I'm looking. Number three is Dude Perfect. I get it.
Is what?
I've heard of them.
Dude Perfect?
Yes.
Yeah.
My kid loves that. $20 million, 2018 and earnings.
But there's five of those guys.
There's five of them. They do like cool little tricks. And it's
trick shots.
It's trick shots. And it's pretty interesting. I sit there and watch them. You know, and so it's like a show.
Yeah.
But just some 7-year-old kid opening up gifts and like, oh, look, Spider-Man. And then playing with Spider-Man and Hulk.
And that's it.
And that's it.
But you have a lot of people
nothing
do that.
That's it.
That is a
whole, that's all it is.
That's a whole new genre of people just opening up boxes of stuff that they purchase. And a lot of times they give it, you're right, Christian, you get it for nothing. Companies will give
it
to you.
Well, they're sitting there looking at all these views, like over, you know, 15 million views and followers.
But he gets that much advertising out of it?
Oh, it's amazing.
22 million a year?
He's got like his own toy line. I mean, the kid is like, I mean, it's...
I'm telling you, Nathan Evaldi's in the wrong business.
We're all in the wrong business. Jeez. I mean, we could do. We could come up with something creative, right?
Sure we could. Sure we could. Play off that rhino thing. That
we should start playing video games and start charging people to watch it.
here's Pete. Pete's calling from Ohio. Hi, Pete.
Hey, boys. Hey, it's funny you bring that up. The Miami game in 2003, I happened to be at that game. That game almost ended in a tie because it was like 5 minutes left when Brady hit Brown for that 80-yard touchdown. And then there was a big ruckus in the Matt Light got in a big fight in the going towards the locker room. But that's not why I called. Hey, okay. Listen, Evaldi, when they signed Evaldi, right? I love the signing because the guy has balls, and he's going to pick that pitching staff up because he's exactly that. He's got balls. So
but wait a minute, Pete. You only saw it for a few weeks. If you look at his record and you look at every single year he's been in the big leagues, 7 years, he doesn't go out there and do it on a regular basis. He does not.
Well, tell me this, Big O, didn't he drive that pitching? I mean, he wanted to pitch two games in a row. I mean, if you're Price, you're going to be embarrassed.
Why?
Because he's getting 27 to $30 million a year, Price.
Yeah.
And then this guy is
going
out there.
He was good. Price was good.
No. First off, I don't care how you feel about Price, but
they were killing him in the middle of the season, Price, because he didn't have the balls to go on the mound.
Hold on. Pete, that's... You're probably killing Evaldi in September because you thought he sucked, okay? Exactly. David Price went out. You don't think David Price showed balls in the postseason, what he did?
He did kind of. Not against the Yankees. When was the last time he beat the Yankees, Price?
Okay, so he struggled against the Yankees.
All the time.
How did he do the rest of the series coming out of the bullpen? And again, you talk about balls. Can I go back into your brain? I don't know, in your group? You tell me, what were you saying about Evaldi September 29th, 30th?
I kind of liked him, you know, and the big deal, because he wasn't making a whole lot of money.
Pete, we didn't even know.
But what did you know about his balls? I know it sounds private, but I'm just saying.
But Pete, what you're doing is you're doing what a lot of people are doing. You fell in love with this guy for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, he was unbelievable.
Did he get a ring?
They gave it. Yes, he did, and they and they're now rewarding him with.
He was outstanding.
They're rewarding him with close to $70 million.
He didn't earn. I'm glad the guy got his money. You know, I'm just, you know, should have been here. I don't know. Are you relying on him to be a starter for you and give you 27 to 33 starts for the next 4 years? I think that's impossible to rely on.
I agree. Here's Fitzy in Dartmouth. Hi, Fitzy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Fitzy.
I told you a call screener that I was going to. Discuss. I'm confused about the Red Sox, but I'm going to hit the four-fecta in 30 seconds. Ready? Number one,
beautiful.
The Celtics win tonight.
Okay.
They show the Knicks the real deal. Number two,
please, they should blow this team out tonight.
The who?
Hold on. I'm going to let you start over because Knucklehead over here cannot freaking resist.
Does anybody cared about that? Oh, please, they should.
Just I know. Like, what did you finish? What did you add? Nothing.
Fitzy. We apologize. Go.
God.
Are you guys all right?
Yeah, I'm going to start over. Put him on the clock. Put him on the clock, Amon.
I'm concerned. Are you all right?
Yeah,
we're
good.
We're
going
to put you on the clock. Go.
Okay, ready? Here we go. All right. The Celtics are going to win tonight. They're going to show the Knicks what the real deal is. The Bruins are going to lose tonight. Too many injuries. Not enough scoring.
Yeah.
Okay. The Patriots are going to win because they're healthy and Miami is not.
Okay.
Okay. And guys,
I think Fitzy's got balls.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We got to let you go, Fitzy.
Right, Fitzy. Fitzy's got balls.
I like that. Fitzy, you know, Fitzy didn't get rattled.
You know, he worked outside the box. He took some really tough takes. I mean, first of all, how many people actually think the Celtics are going to win tonight against the Knicks, right? And the Bruins. You know, they're only playing the Lightning, the first place team in the division. Who thinks they're you know, come on.
I really want to focus more on your personal issues.
My personal issues?
Like, this poor guy.
I got a lot of
issues. You can't resist. I tell you what.
Four quick points. I'm going to do it real quick, and then right away he's interrupting him.
Yeah, it's like he didn't get through one.
But, guys, to beat the Knicks tonight?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but let him finish.
It doesn't matter.
And then afterwards say, of course they should beat the Knicks tonight.
Yes, then you chime in afterwards. Stop being so rude.
Idiotic.
Shut up.
Shut up. You want to talk about being rude? I'll come over that table. I'll be rude.
Oh, okay, put the clock on him. He'll be over here in an hour.
I'm going to be rude.
But what do you know about his balls?
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. I'm just looking at the injury report for Sunday's game. Suddenly, Brady and Gronk are not on it. So, Bill Belichick next week when he's asked a question about Gronk and say, was he on the injured report?
What's changed? Am I missing something?
I don't know. He was on it yesterday, and he's off it today. So, both are off it. There were 14 Dolphins on the injury report.
That's a lot.
Yesterday. Yeah. Most of their offensive line, which sucks to begin with. That's a real problem for them. The biggest one there, obviously, is Howard, who did not practice again today. Full practice for Bobby McCain. They were talking about him as an issue. Limited for Devontae Parker. But full practice today for Tannehill. Not that it makes a difference. But they got a long list of players.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. And that's why, regardless of the stats or regardless of the weather, regardless of the history, and forget about the reasons why. Like, we can play the Twilight Zone music all day long.
The Patriots have an all-time record of 4-15 at Miami.
Thank you, Defo. Thank you for
a guy in Miami could do it and steal your bit.
Yeah. Yep. And I would like to say we did it first. We came up with the idea first. But it's just not good. I just don't see it playing out.
He did it on Tuesday.
No, he did.
This is Tuesday's show.
No, it isn't. No, he did that this morning.
That was this morning.
It was this morning. Thank you.
Belichick is 3-7 in Miami in the month of December.
And you feel good about this?
What else, Defoe? What else?
Do you feel good about this?
The Patriots have lost four.
Ooh, you did a bit that this guy obviously stole from you.
Yeah.
That most of the young audience has no idea what this music is or what it means.
Answer me this then, tough guy.
Must have been to Disney World.
Give me a modern version of the Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone music, it doesn't get old. It still has legs. It's still relevant. Can you play just the Twilight Zone music? Okay, if you play just the Twilight Zone music.
You couldn't come up with one of the zombie movies, which are more recent?
What, The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
It's not the same. That's not another dimension. It doesn't work the same. Twilight Zone is Twilight Zone. You play the Twilight Zone music.
I get it. I get it. But I'm not sure it relates to all of our audience, especially younger people.
Of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does.
Yes, it does. This is it.
Both old.
What's their music then?
I don't know. Who are the young people in there? Who's under 25?
They all
anybody?
Are.
They're all under 25. Do you know what?
Is
anybody? Has anybody seen the Twilight Zone? Okay,
I don't think you need to see the Twilight Zone.
Do you know
what?
Do you? If you played that music, you would know. Oh, Twilight Zone.
I would. Yeah.
Everybody says yes. Okay, Ordway, again, you're so disconnected with the youth, I just don't get it. Like, you have young kids, you know, kids.
As you're playing something that's like 50 years old.
You're so disconnected.
You're playing music 50 years old.
Just admit it. Like, you have like, they're not going to know that song. It's not like they're playing the Monkees or something like that.
There you go.
Like, the Monkees were more recent than the Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone, was in black and white.
I remember the Twilight Zone. Thank you very much.
Is that when you were a little kid, when you were a rhino?
Listen, don't be mad. Just because
it's a hell of a nickname.
It's a great nickname.
Let me ask you a question.
I like Mouse better. I think Mouse is
Well, it worked.
Go ahead.
Does Chris Gasper work on Mondays?
Why?
Because I just feel like every Thursday or Friday we get like an article.
This is even better today, though. Have you seen have you had the Gasper piece?
Okay, hold on.
You refuse to read them.
No.
Because
the
words are too big for you.
No,
I'm Chris Gasper.
I don't need to.
I guarantee you Chatham reads them.
No, I don't need to.
But I always feel like it's like a recap. You know what I mean? I feel like it's...
But Lou,
whether it's a week late or Thursday, it's like talking about how they adapt and how they change their styles to win. And it's like... Can you watch the game Sunday and write it Sunday night?
See, tell me what the headline is, and I will tell you exactly what it says.
The Pats don't have an identity problem. Their identity is adaptability.
Oh. Back in 2002, when the Patriots first became the Patriots, they identified themselves as a must-do, everybody-chip-in team. It's something like that. Something stupid like that.
But it's so lame in that We've been talking about this for years. This is what the Patriots do. Because the national media looks at the Patriots, and they don't understand how they win all the time because they don't see the marquee players there. They don't see the fantasy talent. They don't understand it.
The Patriots
and that's
have always
exactly
been
what it is.
About
what,
adapting.
What Gaspar wrote today. But, Lou, he could have written that
10 years ago.
Right.
And they've always been
Monday,
about.
Man, I'm the tailpipe.
I just want it Monday. That's all.
You ready for this one? You talk about national TV. FS1. This is the topic right now they're talking about. And we're here in New England. Tell me this topic works. Now, they just changed.
Oh, okay.
But this
you wrote
was
it
the,
down.
This was the, I wrote it down.
Go ahead.
Josh McDaniels linked to open coaching jobs. Is this a distraction for New England Sunday in Miami?
Who's debating that?
The FS1 guys. These guys up here.
This is a betting show. Let's call it Lock It In. This is not a betting show.
These shows are so bad. Have we talked about? We've talked about Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
but
I know,
if we
but
ever brought
trying
it up,
to get another leg to it.
Distraction?
Like it's a distraction. Yeah. Like team won't be able to focus. And if they lose in Miami because Josh's name has come up in talks with Green Bay. Why? Because he had to answer two questions in a press conference that he normally wouldn't have to?
Right, so that's the question, Christian. They're saying, should we give up the 7.5 points for the game based on the distraction of Josh McDaniels?
I mean, that's the least
you give it up.
Look at the history.
They don't win in Miami.
Yeah, yes,
that's
right,
why
yes.
you should give it up.
Or is that just too obvious?
Just making it up.
Is that too obvious? Because that would be the first thing, if I was producing that show, I would say, listen, forget about the stupid Josh McDaniels thing.
Has anybody written,
they lose all their coaches.
Has anybody written or said anything, maybe Gaspar will in 5 days, that the Patriots are in jeopardy of losing this game because of the Josh McDaniels distraction?
No.
About
so they're creative, trying to go find something. They're creative. But like you said, Christian, they do this going into the Super Bowl. Is that why they lost the Super Bowl? Because Josh signed with Indianapolis? Because Matt Patricia was going out to Detroit? Is that why they lost the Super Bowl?
Or what about when Mangini left? Or what about Romeo Crennel left? Or when Charlie Weiss left? I mean, or when Josh McDaniels left the first time? Or Matt Patricia lost? Or what about all the others?
How did they even get to the Super Bowl with all that distraction of Patricia?
It's so tough. You know what? They
and
compartmentalize.
Josh.
They just isolate themselves. They avoid the noise. That's what they do. They just so concentrate and they just kind of.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, man.
All right, back to the phone calls we go. Here's Joe in a car. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen.
No, it's afternoon.
What's up, Joe?
Good show. Yeah. Hey, Glenn, this contract with Eovaldi, right? Don't you believe, like I do sometimes, contracts are based on timing? And I think that this guy just went into free agency and pitched like a number one starter, like a $25, $30 million pitch, Joe.
Right.
I know it was only 3 weeks, but, I mean, what is your number? What were you guys thinking that they were going to give this guy if they were going to keep him?
Well, Lou said yesterday 3 and 40, and I thought that made sense. 3 and 40 made sense.
Well, he said that the interest of other teams – we'll probably bump that number up. And I just was curious how far they would go.
Yeah, and yet I've seen a couple of guys have already written that there wasn't much interest other than the Red Sox. So
aren't you guys happy that we were able to keep the guy?
Yes. I think there's the way he pitched in the postseason, if he could bring that to the team over the next 4 years, Joe, it would be great. All I'm saying is fans do this. Media do that. They get overly excited. Pablo Sandoval. He's great in the postseason. We got to sign him up. We got to give him $100 million. Fans do it. Media do it. Teams don't necessarily do it off of 3 weeks. The Red Sox just did it.
But Glenn, the Red Sox, me as a Red Sox fan, I'm already used to them signing bad deals.
True.
They've done this for 15, 20 years. They sign these guys to these big numbers. And they don't produce. And we can go down the list, but I don't have all night.
So you're okay with bad deals. You're okay with bad deals.
Well, right? You're saying that he's been conditioned to deal with it,
that's
right?
Good. Yeah.
I mean, you've just been conditioned after all these years. You've had a history of bad deals and good deals.
You're okay if you let John Lester go.
But when you have that much money, then you can afford to make those mistakes. I don't think this is a mistake. The Eovaldi deal is a great deal. This is like the easiest thing this is the easiest deal they had. Like this, as far as like trying to figure out what was going on. The first, Eovaldi's staying.
I felt like it was time for them, ideally, to try to if they had a starting pitcher out there they felt comfortable with for the next 4 years, I'm totally fine with it because you do have Sale, you do have Porcello coming up at the end of the year, and you can have some certainty moving forward with Price, pitcher X on free agency, whoever it might be, or in a trade, and Erod. The problem is that I'm glad he's back because of what he did in the postseason, but I don't feel like he's that guy that you can now rely on as being a starter in this rotation for the next 4 years because he's never shown he can do that. You know, so you're putting your eggs in it and saying, oh, no, our rotation's set. We got three guys moving forward now the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know if you feel comfortable with that, saying that Nathan Eovaldi is that guy. He's never been.
Okay.
All right.
I'm with you.
You're just.
I'm with you. The problem is when you sit here, when you sit here and you mention this and you say it to people, people think you're ripping on the guy. They think you're ripping on the guy.
I don't know what he wants.
I mean, he's a good pitcher. He was for 3 weeks. But $70 million? We've got 7-year history of this guy, and that doesn't warrant $70 million over 4 years. I don't see it. All right, we got another hour to go.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we spent a lot of time talking about Nathan Eovaldi, and we'll continue to do it with the Red Sox for the next 4 years. The deal is just under $70 million. Pretty good. 4-year deal.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yep, we've talked about Miami and the Patriots' problems down there in Miami. But there's something new on the Reuben Foster front and the Kareem Hunt front. So Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend goes on Good Morning America this morning and admits that she was lying when she recanted the first allegation of Reuben Foster beating her up. And Matt, we talked about this when the Reuben Foster story came up last week. She lied for him.
She lied about it. And this is the same girlfriend. We were talking about how, you know, this girlfriend, this happens. She brings charge against you. Then she recants her story and you get back together again with her.
Yep.
So we're saying, okay, he's not a bright guy. Then we throw out the other side. Well, maybe she just lied, period.
Correct.
You know, when she recanted it, she was lying because she wanted to get back with
him. She's in love, or maybe she likes the lifestyle, right? The lifestyle, right. And so she came out. She fessed up right now. This is going to make it much worse for Reuben Foster and now for the Washington Redskins because now she's sitting there going, he got away with it the first time. Okay?
Well, and there's, obviously, like the video just really paints a, you can sit there with your imagination and assume what's going on or what she looks like or what she's been through. But when you see her crying, you see her tears, and you see her explaining everything that went on, it's bad, right? So the 49ers look just as bad because the 49ers were – see, initially, everyone said, oh, the 49ers, oh, what a great job, what a great job. Like, they did. They just get cut bait with this guy. But they were trying to save him. They were trying to rehabilitate him, which I can't blame them for. I can't blame them for trying to rehabilitate one of the guys that they spent a first-round draft pick on.
So let me ask this question, because you obviously feel bad for this woman. On the other hand, had she told the truth the first time around, you know, maybe he wouldn't have committed it the second time. All right? Now, I know women are going to say, well, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have been with him. You know, I mean, I don't think that would have, if she didn't recant her story,
incident wouldn't have happened.
But I don't think these two lovebirds would have gotten together again.
Yeah.
And she explained why she recanted her story.
Reuben threw my clothes out the balcony. He threw my stuff out the house. He dragged me down the stairs 2-3 times. He punched me in my face 2-3 times, pulled me by my hair, kicked me, spit on me.
Mm. And then you go to court, and then you recant your story.
Yes, ma'am.
And why'd you do that?
Because I loved him. And love will have you doing things that's not in your best interest because the person you love.
Make you do some stupid things, basically. So she recants it. I guess the question, do you believe she recanted it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's telling the truth now.
Okay, so do I.
But we talked about this last week, the fact that she might be lying for him the first time around, because it just makes sense. You hear this an awful lot in cases where the woman, you know, and she's got, you know, physical bruises and everything else over her body, and then she tells the police, no, it didn't happen, I fell, or something like that, usually because they're in love. Or they like, in the case of being around an athlete, they like the lifestyle and the money.
She went on further talking about it as well.
I thought that he would change anybody in my position, they would have did the same thing if they, you know, shared a family with this person. He used to come crying to me, telling me he didn't have anybody. If somebody called the true love, come crying to you, telling you that they didn't have anybody, you'll do the same thing too. Like, that's why I did what I did, because I loved him.
Do you still love him?
I've been getting help and stuff like that. Mm. This is not love.
Oh, yeah. So she's...
So he had something else going on the side.
That's did?
Yeah, he had something else.
Oh.
So she found out that there was something else, you know, involved. So if you're the Washington Redskins now, you can't sit there and stand up for this guy. Now you got to look at it. And I think there's far more pressure on the Washington Redskins today about the future of Reuben Foster, because the league's going to have to throw the book at him.
Oh, you would think. But, I mean, again, throw the book at him.
Not necessarily.
And he misses all of, let's say he misses all of next year. I mean, if you're the Redskins, you claimed him, right? For what? You claimed him for, if he's found guilty, are they going to release him? Or if he's, you know, gets charged and misses a season, they say, okay, well, we get 2 years left of this kid instead of three.
Like anything, it depends on how much pressure they get within the organization.
Here's the part. This is what, you know, so you talk about, like, time has passed and John Lynch, general manager of the 49ers, was really being commended for being proactive, for being aggressive and saying, you know, it's done. We're not having any more of it. But when you listen to her tell the story, it doesn't look that good for the 49ers anymore.
Did it feel like they did not believe you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I felt like they didn't believe me. Even when I called the police, the 49ers came up there. I have pictures of the 49ers coming up there trying to talk to the police and say, I'm the same ex-girlfriend that sat up there and lied.
Okay, but see, I heard that. I was like, well, wait a second. But at this point in time, everyone believes that you lied because you recanted your story. So they don't know that you're in love. They don't know that Reuben Foster is, you know, crying to you, talking about, I don't have anybody. All they know is they come up to your room and they go, oh, here we go again. She's lying again. She already did this once. She recanted, officer.
Well, I'll tell you, if the Niners don't know that she lied, right? Let's just play that out. Whether you want to believe that or not. Whether, you know, you would probably have that same reaction. You know, first off, I don't know what Ruben's doing with this girl again. Man, this girl already lied and put him through hell and almost got him suspended. It admitted she just wanted to put him through hell. So I could see where the Niners are thinking that. Now, I could question whether the Niners really believe that she lied or not. That first time.
Maybe it was convenient.
You know, the Niners are probably like, oh, good.
Oh, thank you.
You got your girl to take that back? Good, that's good. Good, get back in the field.
But these scenarios are, so she lied about it, okay, because it was in her best interest and
she wanted to get back with him.
Okay, but there are a bunch of cases where the women actually do lie and they get caught lying, accusing a guy, whoever. I use Michael Irvin because he's the one that's, you know, fresh in my head.
Right.
They lied about him.
So this is where things start to turn. You get more information. When they claimed Reuben Foster, you called Washington hypocrites right away, right? And I had a problem. I thought that was premature. Now, because they're against domestic violence and all these things, right?
Sure.
They've been pretty vocal about it. Now, if they find out this guy is guilty, allow him to serve a suspension and then put him on the field, now they're hypocrites. If they find out that he really is guilty, and I mean, it was leaning towards that anyways, but you never know. You let the process play out. Then they should absolutely release him. They have to release him, or then they'll be, like you said, hypocrites. We're going to keep this guy. Yeah, we'll let him serve 1 year suspension. We still got a good football player. If he really means something to you, then you would, because now you're starting to believe, if you believe her story, he's not guilty of one incident. We can go way back to this other one as well. And there's others. She talked about it. It's happened before as well.
Yeah, and I would say the Redskins have such a bad PR problem right now. If you start, and Daniel Snyder just does not care at all, because a situation like Reuben Foster, a situation like Adrian Peterson, that goes through Daniel Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Daniel Snyder has to okay this. Like, he has to, you know, green flag it. But you think about the Redskins, and just with the name Redskins, like, I'm never going to change that name. I don't think you should anyways. And then you go from Adrian Peterson to Reuben Foster. What they need to do, since they do have a PR problem, if I was the Redskins, and I'm not even kidding, I would do my best to bring in Colin Kaepernick and give him a four-week contract.
Oh, you're kidding.
No! And then if you really want Reuben Foster, slide him in, and they'll never know.
Stop.
They'll have those guys on the field at the same time.
Okay. So you placate one part of no.
Yeah, because I'm Daniel Snyder, and I'm all about.
Oh, we joked about it yesterday,
game.
But no.
But that would be something he would do.
I mean,
do.
You would go from an organization that everybody despises right now to obviously you would get a bunch of Twitter applause. you know, for signing Colin Kaepernick. You'd get a lot of support for that, right? Wouldn't you?
Until you don't play him.
No, get it. I mean, Kaepernick was smart. He shouldn't at this point because he can go in there and what? Just look like crap for three or four weeks, and everybody can sit there and say, "See, he sucks."
Yeah, he'd rather be a martyr than a starter. He doesn't want to play anyways. But I just thought it'd be a nice way. I'm surprised. I bet you anything, somebody brought him that idea. Hey, Mr. Snyder, thank you. Can I come in your office real quick?
No, we're good.
No,
we're good.
This is small potatoes to a lot of things out there.
You know who the biggest hardo is?
Who's that?
Are we taking a break right now?
Don't worry about it. Just
no, because you've kind of been off, and I just want to make sure.
I'm not off.
You know
off.
The biggest hardo is? You're totally off right now. No. Glue? Cosine?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
No. The biggest hardo, and I used to love this guy, Sean McVay. Sean McVay is the biggest hardo going right now.
We were going to get to that later.
Were you going to get to it? Oh, okay, good, because I wasn't sure.
It's just a squirrel moment.
No, it's not a squirrel moment. Sometimes you're like that old guy.
Trying to lead you.
That, like, you kind of forget where
you
are.
So if you know you're in you heard me, we were talking about Reuben Foster, and I mentioned Kareem Hunt. So after Reuben Foster, I'm going to mention Kareem Hunt because it's a similar situation.
No one cares about what your train of thought is.
The Cleveland Police Department is suddenly investigating the Cleveland Police Department. In the way that
Say that again.
You heard me the first time. They're investigating how the Kareem Hunt case was handled because now suddenly they don't understand why it was handled as a misdemeanor.
So you think
they don't understand why it was handled without them investigating the video, especially since the woman wanted to press charges. And I'm wondering, did the NFL, did somebody make a phone call? Did somebody do something to back the Cleveland Police?
Well, you know what else happened, though? You know what else happened? So there was a guy there that was videotaping everything with his cell phone. The police arrested him because they said that whoever was at the hotel, it's a hotel slash residence, right?
Correct.
So they said, hey, grab that phone. Probably the same guy that says that's what you get for being a hoe. The same guy that said, hey, listen, you got to confiscate that phone. Because they didn't ask permission. So the hotel slash residence is saying, hey, you got to grab that video because they need to ask permission. Well, the guy that was videotaping it said, no, I know my rights. You need a warrant. The cop says, I don't need a warrant, and tries to take the guy's phone. Doesn't give the guy the phone, and they end up arresting him. He ends up paying like a $300 fine. I forget what the charge was, but he's sitting there bitching and complaining because he was just trying to protect and videotape and record everything that was happening, yet he got arrested and Kareem Hunt
This may get worse for Kareem Hunt, though, especially if somebody in the Cleveland Police Department ended up burying this one under the rug to protect somebody else. Very, very strange. All right, we're back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OML.